the people they're putting on the convention, taking care of international leaders and stuff. And I kind of got in a little late, and when I sat down, when I think it was Tuesday morning, there was a lady who was speaking, and I caught it right at this one point, and she was talking about the Holy Spirit and power and stuff like that. And she said something that really struck me, and so what I just, it caused me to kind of do a little bit more investigation, and actually that's what I would like to kind of just share with you this morning. She was talking about Acts 1:8 that we all know. Boy, that jumps. Wow, that jumped a bunch. There we go. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. We've heard this scripture many, 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 many times. And the thing about it is that she brought up was that a lot of times, you know, when we're talking about the power, it goes back to the Greek, it's dunamis, but it's, wait, did I do that right? Oh, there we go. It's spelled differently, but it's dunamis. And the actual definition is strength, ability, inherent power by virtue of its nature. And people talk about this, and they usually, like, the first thing that they say is, like, hey, this is the root word for dynamite, which really gets us guys really excited because, hey, we like to blow things up, right? So it's like, hey, we're going to really run with that one. But the thing is that oftentimes in our lives, we don't need something that's so explosive. The thing that struck me from what she was saying was that it's also, that word is also the root word for dynamic. And that's like, yeah, because dynamic power is constant. It's this thing that is longstanding. It's consistent and not just this explosive like we think of dynamite, but it's this constant, continual power. And there's oftentimes we have a tendency of just kind of focusing on the dynamite, that explosion, that kind of thing, but it's not always necessary. So kind of getting a little bit of an example on this, think of a car. And I'm talking about an old school 8-cylinder muscle car. I'm not talking about these hybrid stuff. I'm not talking about these electric stuff. I'm talking about the old school type, like that actually had power. That's the kind of car I'm talking about, a real car. We were, like I said, we were just in Phoenix, and the people we were staying with, they have one of those hybrids. And so we're riding with him, and the light turns green. He's like, I'm like, come on, like this or something like that. And he's like, oh, and they were like, hey, how are you doing on your score? And like, because it wants you to, I don't know, it figures out how good of energy you're saving or something like that. And like, oh, I'm getting a 98. I'm like, not on this car. You're only getting about 15 at the moment. But that was talking about this car. And I'm like, you know, I'm used to the nice cars. Like when I was in college, my roommate, he had, I believe it was a 74 Pontiac Firebird. And boy, the first time I drove that, I just touched the gas pedal. It's like, ooh, got to be careful there. But it was fun. So much fun that I bought myself a 77 Firebird. And I'm like, okay. And I tell you, Dad, this is a long time ago. Don't worry about it. When you put your foot on that pedal, it moved. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. So, in one of those engines, you get the gasoline coming in, and it mixes with the air, and it gets compressed, and then it gets introduced a little spark, and an explosion happens. But it's harnessed. But what it does is it takes all that power and it turns it into rotary power, which gets then transferred over to the transmission, and then that gets connected to the back wheels, and that's where you have the power to move. But it's not the same thing for your radio. Can you imagine if your radio, like, sped up or got louder every time you put your foot on the gas? It needs a more constant, continual power. And so there's a mechanism on the engine that's called an alternator, but in the old times, it used to be called a dynamo, converting mechanical engineering energy into electrical engineering. energy. And that's what we were called to do, is take this powerful, explosive power and turn it into this continual power that we have access to all the time. Just to give you I think it's the next one, maybe? Yeah, see? That is an old school industrial dynamo. They don't call them that anymore, but that's the concept, is taking this mechanical energy and turning it into electrical engineering that it has more applications than just the rotary stuff that we have. See, we have access to We have access to this same type of power all the time. The thing is, we focus on this explosive that, and like, okay, you know what? If I'm going to go and I'm going to speak and at the corner of the, okay, we'll do that. So we think that the only time that we need to access the Holy Spirit is when we need this explosive power. That we, you know, okay, I'm going to go out, I'm going to evangelize on the street corner, that's when I'll use this power. But the thing is that we have access to this other type of power, this dynamic, constant, consistent power all the time for everything that we need, that is much more applicable for different areas. It can be used in so many different ways. In your car, it does the radio, your windshield wipers, your lights, your thing. I mean, if these things were only worked on how fast the engine was going, it's like you'd be going along, you come to a stop sign, the lights go, which would not be a good thing, right? You need this consistent power all the time. And God has told us this power is, it's both sides of it. And we have this tendency of just focusing on one side. And I just wanted to encourage you that we actually have access to all of it. But there are times when the explosive power is necessary. So when I was younger, not that much younger, I was in a toxic relationship. And the thing is that, you know, I had to work my way out of that. And I liken it to a tree. There's things in our lives that there's big, huge tree, and we're like, you know what, that's not good for me. That's not good for where I am. I need to get rid of it. And so we cut down that tree. The problem is that oftentimes we leave the stump behind. And what does that stump do? It keeps reminding us of that old tree that's there, and it's always in the way. And every day we walk out and we see this stump, this residual aspect of something that we want, we actually worked hard to get out of our lives, but there's just this part that's left behind. Now that's where dynamite comes in, right? I mean, you put a couple of sticks in there, and boom, it's gone. So there's times in our lives where we need that, where we say, God, you know what? There's this thing. There's this big thing, this stump that's in my life. I need the explosive power of the Holy Spirit to get rid of it. But then there's the other thing. Again, I grew up in the desert. It's really interesting. I grew up in the desert, and I'm using all of these plant metaphors, which is kind of like, yeah, doesn't quite work well. Let's see how far back I had gone. Oh, no, that's good. That's where I wanted to be. Okay. I wanted that. How many times do we have something like that just hanging around? And I tell you, this is something I'm struggling. I mean, Jane and I, we have been together for 17 years, and I still have parts of that stump from the previous relationship that still affect on how I interact with her. She says something to me, and it's like, oh, it's just like that stump. It's just like that tree that used to be there. I need the Holy Spirit, that explosive power of the Holy Spirit, to just get rid of all of it so that there's nothing there but grass. That green stuff that comes up from the ground, that's grass, right? Okay. So, but then there's the other side. The other side. I grew up out by Death Valley, where they don't have trees, they have tumbleweeds. In our house, we had a big area that we used for a driveway. And there was no, on that side of our house, there was no neighbors. It kind of dropped down to a road. And so we just kind of let some of those tumbleweeds kind of be over there because it was really hard to get them out. But the thing was that if you left it along left those weeds alone for long enough, they would slowly be creeping in to our area, to where we want it. And everyone's like, oh, you know what? We ignored it for too long. Now we got to go out there and hack down all these huge tumbleweeds. These huge tumbleweeds. I can't tell you how many shovels I've broken on these stupid things. Because we let it go. The thing is if you maintain it, if you keep watch over it, it doesn't become such a big thing. It becomes just, oh, those are these little things you just pull up. But if you let it get to be too much, then it takes a whole weekend and you merely made a dent and you're out there just, it's a mess. But see, in that situation, we need the continual power of the Holy Spirit to prevent these things of the outside world to slowly creep into our lives. We don't realize that's happening because it's over there with the tumbleweeds. But what we don't realize is that the line that the tumbleweeds are getting into our life is little bit by little bit encroaching until all of a sudden we're like, we don't have any place to park our cars right now because there's too many tumbleweeds. An example of that was before we went to Mexico, January worked as a table games dealer in one of the casinos. And what we kind of started to come to realize is that she was in this environment that was not good. And it slowly but surely started to affect on how she thought about things, how she acted, how she reacted. And we made the decision, it's like, you know what, as much as we like getting that money, it would actually be better for us for her to get out of that environment because it was encroaching. Those tumbleweeds were encroaching into and making their way into her life and how she spoke, how she acted, her attitude with other people. It all started being affected by those. So in that situation, those are one of those things where, you know, having the Holy Spirit power all the time, it will keep those tumbleweeds at bay. It will keep them out of affecting us, keep them away from where we're supposed to be. That way we have a nice clean field that's ready for whatever God has for us. The thing is, you have the power. And you were also included in Christ when he heard the message of truth and the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So when you believed, you have access to this power. It's not like you have to sign, you know, go to and fill out another application. It's like, well, now I'm a Christian, but I want to have this. God's already given you the power of the Holy Spirit right now. Now you can have more of it and be filled and filled and filled and filled. But there's this baseline power that you have by being a child of God. But the thing is it's just like everything else. Right now, your house has a lot of electrical wires going through it. But until you plug into the outlet and connect to that source of power, it won't do you any good. There was a scene in a movie, and they were talking like, I can't get this coffee maker to work. I can't get this coffee maker to work. Because, well, over here in England, we actually plug them in. And it was one of those simple things. You couldn't get the appliance to work because it wasn't connected to the power source. And the thing is that those of us, we have all of this already wired into our lives because we're Christians, because we believe in Jesus. But how often do we try to make the coffee maker work without actually plugging it in? Which is really sad if you really need the coffee, which I often do. But that's just an example of this concept of we have all of this, we have access to all of this. To all of these things in our lives and all of these benefits, but how often do we say, well, the coffee maker's not going, so I'll just go down the street and try to get something else. Instead of making a really good cup, you end up going down to someplace else. I'm not going to say a name, but it starts with an S. The thing about is we focus on two, on only one aspect of something, we miss out on all these other things that we have that God has given us and given us access to and wants us to use on a daily basis. We have this, and it's this dynamic, encouraging, expressive energy And it's the thing, and oftentimes we're like, well, you know, that's just New Testament stuff. That's something that God's done new. And actually, it's not. I missed it. Okay. This same word of power is the same word, even though it's in Hebrew, but it's just like we use power in English and dunamis in Greek. Hebrew for power is the same thing that was used when they were talking about Samson. When Samson got his power from God in Judges 15:14, I forgot to put it up there, it talks about how he was given this power from God to do what he was supposed to be doing, which was, in this instance, was killing the Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. It's the same power. God's been giving us this power from the beginning of time. It's the same power that he used to create the universe. It's this same power that now that we don't have that separation of sin between us and God, he is allowing us to have more access to it. And then, on top of that, he sends the Holy Spirit, which is the guy in charge of the power. You know, he's coming like, okay, let me show you how to use this. Let me show you how to use the power that God has entrusted to you. Because a lot of times, it's just like the first time you got into a car and like, how does all this thing work? You know, which pedal does what? You needed somebody to show you. And that's where the helper comes along. He helps you understand how to use the power that you already have access to and how to use it efficiently and effectively in your life. So I challenge you. What do you think you would be capable if you access this type of power on a continual basis? Think about this. The same power that strengthened Samson, the same power that raised Lazarus from the dead, the same power that encouraged Peter to do all the things and Paul to do all the things that they did, you have access to that exact same power every day, all day. But we don't, because we think that's then. But no, God's saying, no, I want to use you and give you this dynamic power now, every day, for doing all things. To make sure that you were able to flip that omelet over just perfect, why not? Why are we only relegating that power to these times where we think we need that explosive power? Why are we keeping it only to those parts of our lives when we have access to the other side of it, which is the dynamic part? That no matter what we're doing, you know, if I'm having a hard day, you know what? I can access God's power to have a better day, to get my mental state right. I'm looking at things the right way, looking at it at a better perspective, the perspective that God wanted us to have all along. He's given us the power to be able to change our minds and be able to not look at the circumstances, but look at the hope that we have in the future. So that's what I want to kind of leave you guys with, is this concept of that we have access to this wonderful, dynamic, continual, constant power of God for it to be pervasive in every aspect of our lives. And then when we need it, when we come across a stump, we have access to that extra little explosion to get us past whatever it is that's causing us to do. Anyway, I thank you guys for that, and that's it.
You can stay up here if you want. I just wanted to touch on two things that he mentioned. Sometimes there's events in our lives and they're kind of traumatic, like a toxic relationship, but they form a lens that we view our life through. And how about some dynamite? Let's blow some of those things up. So would you just bow your heads and close your eyes? And if that spoke to you when he was sharing that and they're just connecting that right now, if there's something in your past that it has a tendency to just regurgitate itself back up into your field of view, Father, we come against that in the name of Jesus. Any kind of trauma, any kind of hurt, any kind of, even if it was stuff that we did, Lord, we just surrender all that to you and we just release that it will no longer be the lens through which we view our lives in Jesus' name. And then the second one was the tumbleweeds. It's true, there are things that Maybe you do once or twice and they don't seem to be that bad, but then they get a hook in you and it's hard to stop. So I don't need to go into that, right? I mean, we know what that is. But Lord, we just want to burn up the tumbleweeds with the fire of God. Those things that we've allowed to accumulate in our lives that are slowing us down in our walk with you, maybe even hindering us. Maybe such a distraction that we can't even see what we used to see. Lord, we thank you for the fire of God, the power of God. We thank you for these tools that you've given us to give us and grant us success in our walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.